The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
Awesome. If you're happy and you know it, say yeah. Well, today is Mother's Day, and we are just honored to have you here. If you are a mom, would you just wave at me? We honor you. We honor you so, so much. And we just want you to know that we appreciate you. We've got some special things happening for all of our ladies today, because we realize that some of us, we're definitely all children. Are you with me? We all have a mom, but we've all gone through different experiences in our life, and we're in all different places of our journey. Some of us, we realized this morning, are without our mom. Some of us are still believing God for children. Some of us may have experienced the loss of a child. And so when we celebrate Mother's Day, we are celebrating all women, those who have given birth naturally, but also all of you women that are investing in the life of someone else. We are not standing here, meaning all of us, without the impact of women. And so as a church, we will highlight the moms, but of course, but we want you to know that everything that we do, video-wise, verbal, and gifts, are for all of our women. And so if you are a woman, would you raise your hand? Come on, you keep it up. I want to just declare over you that many have done well, but you have excelled them all. Proverbs 31. You're in the right place at the right time. God sees you. He loves you. And he blesses you in Jesus' name. Do you receive that? Well, this morning I'm going to step aside and I'm going to let my forever girlfriend preach this morning. Is that all right? Now, just so y'all know, she's preaching my notes. So the last time she preached, I wasn't here, and she literally dragged me underneath the bus. And I don't know if y'all remember, 4 weeks ago, we started a competition that you all are the judges of. Here's what I need you to do. If she comes in second place, don't tell her, tell me. That'll worry. I'm just kidding, because I know she's going to undercut me when she gets up here. I just know it. It's in her notes. I know. But babe, honestly, I want to honor you publicly. Hopefully, I do a good job privately. But I want you to know that I am glad and happy that you and I get to pastor together. You're not a first lady. You are a co-pastor. You are the spiritual mama of this house. And I do a lot of communicating, but what people don't know is that you're the heartbeat of this church. And so I love you. I'm about to cry, girl. What I had earlier. But I honor you publicly because you are the heartbeat of this church. And ladies and men, I want you to know that when she speaks, she's speaking from the mouth of God. And this morning I honor you, but there's also somebody else that wants to honor you. After this short video, would you welcome the mama of the house, co-pastor, Taisha Moore. Check this out.
Taisha, happy Mother's Day. You know, for me as a mom, there is no greater joy than for a mom to see her daughter, who not only knows the Lord, but is loving and serving him the way that you do. I just wanted to give you a happy Mother's Day message and let you know that you are God's masterpiece. And I want you to be confident and know that when you met Jesus as a teenager, he is going to continue to walk with you and love you and help you to serve others all the way until the day of Christ Jesus. I love you. Happy Mother's Day.
That's my mama, y'all. I was thinking about my mom. I was actually thinking about her 2 days ago, and I wasn't looking at a picture or anything. I was just super overwhelmed. Some of you know our story, some of you don't, but my mom had me when she was 16, and what a choice to make when that's your situation. And I always think about how things could have been and how jacked up I could have been, and, you know, I sort of still am, but I always think about what it could have been, and I'm so grateful for that woman that gave me life, and I'm so grateful for you, City Place. And so this morning, every mom brings good gifts, and my mom certainly brings gifts, except she no longer brings them for me. I don't know why. She only brings them to my kids. It's like when you have kids, you automatically just, you are no longer existing. And I just supersede you and go right to this grandbabies. And so as a mom of the house, and since I no longer give gifts, I just figured I would change that. So girls, I have a gift for you today. Guys, can you help me out? Those of you that are here in the audience, this is for all women. They're going to pass this around, and so it's for all the ladies. I don't care if you're a mom. I don't care if you're a sister girl. I don't care if you're a young sister or a big sister. This is for you. I believe in good gifts. It's something that we will talk about at the end of our service, so don't do that thing in church. You know how, like, you always have that person, and then they want to open up the mint in the middle of service, and they don't open it up fast. They don't ever open it up fast. It's really slow. And you're like, open up the mint already. Open up the mint. Put that mint in your mouth. So in the end, I want to show you what you have inside, but for now, it'll be our little treasure. And you know, it's one of the things that we do on Mother's Day, as Pastor said, we honor all ladies. And I'm just so grateful. I am so, so grateful not only to have this journey with my husband, but that he is a man that honors and champions women. He and the men served the ladies. You saw the video. How many of you guys enjoyed Sisterhood Night this Friday? Awesome. I enjoyed it. I was like, woo. We are dripping. Now, it's 1,000 degrees in here, but we are having the time of our life. So if you missed it, then please join us in one of our city groups when they kick off again, and you'll get to experience that kind of life. But honestly, I'm so grateful for men that champion us to do our thing. So welcome to Mother's Day. This Mother's Day, I recognize that many of us are in different positions in life. Some of you are mamas. Some of you are hopeful. Some of you are thinking about mom. Some of you are pondering good things. And so I have a little message here today titled, A Mad of heart. Now, some of us have heard the phrase, oh, that's a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, and what that point is, when somebody says that, it's like, oh, well, actually, what it is this, and I'm going to base it on some facts. But mamas and sisters know that sometimes you got to feel some stuff out with your... Simon says, no, sometimes you got to feel some stuff out with your heart. Sometimes you have to feel some situations around, and somebody's telling you one thing, but your heart says something different. Sometimes there's somebody that comes into your life, and you're like, I got to feel you out. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? And a woman is great at this. I can tell your pastor, I can tell Damien, I can say, babe, I know this is what they're saying, but this is what we need to do. Right? And you can see some stuff long before it happens. Have you ever had this happen with your kiddos, right? Where you maybe they have a friend or whatever, and you're like, mm-mm. It's not a matter of fact. It's a matter of heart. And so today, if you will go along the ride, this is for men and women, we're going to pull out some things in Scripture, and I'm going to show you some circumstances that have to deal with our heart. It's a matter of heart. And so therefore, we've been talking about this series, A Little Bit of Wisdom, and I'm here to tell you today that wisdom is not only here, it's also here. Wisdom can be head and heart. It's how God speaks to his children. We find this wonderful story. If you think about wisdom in the Bible, you often think of stories, and they involve King Solomon. Solomon, who was known for being insanely wise well before his years. There's a story that's found in 1 Kings. I'm going to actually take you to two places, so let me give you a little bit of heads up if you want to take and put your finger in your Bible. I hope that you've brought your Bible to church this morning, because your Bible is your weapon. Don't rely on what I've got to show you, and make sure that your notes are good. So if you can remember in the morning, make sure you get that actual Bible in your hands. The first scripture we're going to is 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Kings 3:16. Now I want you to put your finger there and flip over to John 19. put a little flag, doggy, or a piece of paper, whatever it is that you need to do to save your spot, and that way you'll be good to go today. The first story that we're going to read, and they're going to be parallel, we're going to pull out what God has to say to us as women this morning. The First Kings chapter 3, verse 16 through 27. Can I read it for you? And it says, now two prostitutes, someone say prostitutes. Two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. And one of them said, pardon me, my lord, this woman I live in the same house, this woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were completely alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. And during the night, this woman's son died because she laid on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I'd born. The other woman said, no, the living one is my son, the dead one is yours. But the first one insisted, no, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine. And so they argued before the king. And then the king said, this one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. Well, the other one says, no, your son is dead, mine's alive. Then the king said, bring me a sword, enough. So they brought a sword for the king and then gave an order. Cut the living child in pieces and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. But the other sister said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. And then the king gave this ruling. Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother. This morning we have a story of two mamas. Two mamas are going to show us wonderful things this morning, and they show us what it's like to have compassion. They show what it's like to be a woman of any stage. Notice that the Bible tells us that it's two prostitutes. And even the prostitutes have a space before the king to get their justice. I'm so grateful that a king, our king, Jesus, is no respecter of who we are or what we've been through, when we have it together and when we don't. The Bible says that two prostitutes, that's woman of the night, people of the street, people, you don't even know who your baby daddy is. You're jacked up in every way. You don't have your life perfectly in order, yet the king wants to hear your case. It tells me that no matter where we find ourselves this morning, no matter where we're crushing it, and no matter where we're falling short, God still has his ear bent towards us. It says that two prostitutes are before King Solomon, and the problem is this in this whole story. Most theologians believe that these women probably went to some lesser court to try to figure this out, but couldn't. Because they were prostitutes, this Bible makes no mention of their husbands. It makes no mention of anybody else. And it's a confusing story. There's no eyewitnesses. They're completely alone. Have you ever been in a circumstance where it's really only you and one other thing that knows the truth? That your stuff could live in secrecy. It could be just you and me. It's just your ethic and mine. It's just me, the spouse, and my spouse that understands what really went down. It's just me and my mom who understands where we're at war and odds. It's just us. There's no eyewitnesses. And the Bible says that one mom is sleeping. And the probability is that she is sleeping so soundly, so wonderfully, that she forgets. You know, nowadays, most doctors say, don't you put that baby in your bed. Why? Because they can suffocate, because you can roll over them. You can do crazy things in your deep sleep. Now, if you're a mom in the building, you understand what it means to be sleep deprived. Yes. Amen. So many people ask Pastor Damon and I if we're ready for a little girl, and I say, the devil is a liar. get behind me, Satan. You go through a period of time where you can do that. You can pull those all-nighters like, whoo, and snap back in place. You can't do that anymore. I can't do that anymore. This woman was sleeping so soundly that she actually rolled over, and the Bible says crushed her son. She took a good thing that had life in it. She took a fragile thing that was still in its infant stage, and she rolled herself on top of it because she was asleep. How many of us in here this morning would say, honestly, if God found me, I am asleep. I'm asleep. I'm here this morning, Pastor Ty. I'm here. I put my stuff on. I've got my stuff. I look good today. I'm ready for my Mother's Day pictures. But deep down inside, I've been walking along life, and I have no idea because my sense of emotion is completely asleep. It says that this woman rolled over in the middle of the night and crushed her own son. I'm telling you, there's not a woman that is a mom with the love of a mother that doesn't have malintention, that desires to roll over and crush her living baby. There is no woman who says, you know what? I'm just going to fall. I'm going to get some good sleep tonight. I'm going to drool it up tonight. I'm going to let all the way back. I'm going all the way back, and I'm gonna wake up feeling refreshed. But the thing that God gave me in my infancy, the dream that I have, the thing that He's given me, the thing that's just a baby, that it's my responsibility to help grow, I don't really care about it right now. I'm just gonna roll over and crush it. My question for you this morning, and I don't care if you're a man or a woman, what's your baby this morning? And the follow-up question is, are you awake or are you asleep? Because sleeping things crush things. She sucked the life out of her baby. What is your baby this morning, and are you breathing life into it, or are you accidentally crushing it? I love scripture for the way that it speaks to us. You think this is a story about two women, and God says it's about your baby. Says during the night, some versions say at midnight, this woman's son died because she laid on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. This is what I think is so interesting about this story. And this is where we will pause this morning to pull out a nugget of a heart condition. A mama's heart has a responsibility to keep it together. A mama's heart is the one that says, oh, I can feel 1,000 emotions in the same day and still keep it all moving. And this morning, God gives us 3 heart conditions for us to take note of. And the first one is this. It is our responsibility to maintain a clean heart. Notice I didn't say a perfect heart, I said a clean heart. Here before you, I have just an empty bottle. And I asked one of our dream teamers to head outside and grab me just a little bit of dirt. And so Naren faithfully did that for me. And this bucket has some dirt. He has promised me there is no worms in the dirt, so it's not really a worry. And I know that you can't see it, but I just want you to trust me. It's just a little bit of dirt. And you know, like, unlike moms, dads use words like this, little dirt ain't never hurt nobody. So don't worry about it. And then in this bottle, I'm gonna crack it open. I've got some, you know, purified water straight from the hills of Niagara. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to represent us as being the people in this bottle. And it's not a big deal. We just have a little bit of dirt. Pastor, it's not a big deal. I can completely, completely love Jesus and just have a few friends that cause me to do. It's like not a big deal. I know how. Now I'm getting strong enough. I don't really have to eliminate things out of my life yet, Pastor. It's just I know how to maintain it. I've got it. Pastor, I don't really have to, that friend, the BFF, see, we've been friends since I was like 5. So if I really need to eliminate her out of my life, I'm gonna just really be in trouble. Like, I'm serious. So if it's okay, if it's cool, I'm gonna still love Jesus, but I'm still just, you know, I just, you know. Wow, he looks really good. And you know, I've been single for a really long time. So I'm gonna just put my profile here on this little dating app and listen, he said he's a Christian. I don't know what kind. He totally grew up in the church, Pastor. He's really, really good to me. He's so nice. He holds open the door. I think he could lead me one day, for sure. This is us. This represents all that God has for us. It's the washing of his word. The Bible gives us the example of a refreshing water. All that God is, it's completely pure and untainted. I just opened it up. It came straight from the hills of falls of Niagara. I mean, you would know that this is okay. And so if I put all that God has for you here, and I start to say, whoa, God is doing such a new thing in me, and look at me on the Sunday morning, I'm just getting completely filled up. And oh my gosh, that spirit, that Bible, what? Bible study wrecked my life. Sisterhood night, say what? My good God. And so what happens is that we think we're okay with our clean heart, and it's clean-ish, but I want anybody in here, anybody to take a drink of this. Oh, you're good? How about now? Do you want me to add a few more friends or osmosis or we're good? So why do we think that God, I mean, what is he doing? Is he wasting his time? What are we telling ourselves? When is this okay? If you're not going to drink it now, why are you trying to drink it up in here? What is he supposed to do with us? It is our job. It is our job to maintain a clean heart. In order to maintain a clean heart, if we have junk in it, we say this, God, you filled me up. You give me one good shake. You give me one good shake. And you better pop that top and give me anywhere to pour this. And I'm going to find anywhere that I see. And it is so out of here. Because you're going to start with something fresh. And I don't care how long it takes. You can do it again, and you can fill me again, and if there's any residue still left, we can take all day, Jesus. If you got time, I got time. A clean heart is our responsibility. An unclean heart, and this is on your notes. Number one is unclean heart, by the way. And it says this, an unclean heart makes compromises. It's your first blank. And builds a wedge from God. An unclean heart makes compromises and builds a wedge from God. And so you know that you have an unclean situation if in your life you're starting to make a compromise or excuse in any way. In any way. Oh, it's okay if I show up to work 10 minutes late. They don't care. Oh, really? Because the last time I checked, nobody pays me for free. Just to live and breathe. Oh, it's okay. My boss is cool like that. Oh, okay. So you're telling me that Sears then is good with that? That CEO would be good with that? Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, one more question. You're telling me Jesus is okay with that? Because we work under him, unto the Lord. So when we make compromises, we understand that it can be an unclean situation. The reason that we know from this story that God deals with us with this heart condition is because there is a woman who decides at midnight that it is okay for me to roll over my baby. And for me, in my right mind, I don't know who does this, in my right mind, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to see what I have done, I'm going to take my dead child and not cry and be remorseful over what I have done. No, I'm not going to take responsibility. I'm going to take my dead child. I'm going to take your living thing and I'm going to exchange it. How many times have you been around people in your life that do not understand the journey that you're on? Your living thing, and they want to take the life out of you because they have no joy. Because they have no money, because they are upset and uptight, and they want to take your living thing, give me your living thing, and let me give you my dead thing so that we're both miserable. An unclean heart will mess you up, and it's our first pit stop, because if it's dirty water, don't nobody want to drink it. In our darkest hour, it is our responsibility to wake up and take responsibility. A clean heart is a remorseful heart. It is a heart that understands there may be consequences. It is one that understands where I am shamed, there is no shame in Jesus. And let me tell you this. The woman with the living baby was in this situation because she did not understand what she was living with. Let me break it down like this. I don't know what her situation was. I don't know if it was a brothel. I don't know if it was a roommate. I don't know if it was a sister. I don't know. What I do know is this. She was living with an enemy. She wasn't there to stay. She wasn't there to visit. It wasn't, you know, I'm on vacation and this happened. She was living with something that was stealing her stuff. That woman was living there. She remained there. She stayed there. Check your house. Men and women, there's some stuff that we've been able to tolerate. And God says, not anymore. Not anymore. I want to move on. The second thing that we understand from this story is that we must have a pliable heart. And so over here, I brought this from my house. Y'all, I never use it, but I brought it because I ain't no reason to use it. It's like 1 billion degrees in Florida. But shovels are they are uniquely designed to get through hard stuff, right? I could take a shovel on the ground and I could, like, I've been working on the rail. That's what I feel like singing. It's the wrong tool. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But shovels, you can take your foot, you can push it into some hard, rocky ground, you can get up some stuff. You take a shovel and you plunge it into the ground. And God uses things to break up ground so that it will be soft, so that it will be pliable, so that it will be powerful. And we think that when God uproots some stuff, I liked them. God, why did they move away? God, this was an awesome job. What do you mean I'm now jobless? I dealt with cancer when I was a teenager. I thought I was free from it. God takes some stuff that seems so settled, so hardened, and he says, I want you to understand this. I have a big picture. You have a fragment of a picture. Your only job is to trust me that if I'm the one uprooting some stuff, it is for your good. You may cry over the fact that they left you, that she's talking about you, that it's not all put together, that baby that you raised doesn't even act like you. That they have walked away and mistreated you. You might think that that is such a bad thing, that God is uprooting and damaging you in some way when he says, I am taking out the weeds. And maintenance is so necessary. See, this woman, the thing that I don't understand about the story of these two women is that the woman's heart could be so hard that she would take and switch a baby. And I guess the question is this, how did she get that way? We talked about this, it's not for us to talk about today, but even in Friday night with our sisterhood meeting, it was this realization, how did I get here? How did I get here? I don't know if I recognize me anymore. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced a moment of reflection where you're doing something or you have a certain behavior, or maybe it's just like this in some area or some relationship of your life, and you're just thinking, how did I get here? I remember when Pastor and I were first married, and we had, everybody says that first year, we had our, things, and we certainly fought and stuff like that, but it wasn't crazy. It was later on in life that it was like, dukes up. Oh, I know you now. I know where it hurts. I know how you're going to swing. I know all of that. So don't go to sleep. Yeah, it's true. It's the times where you are fighting the people that you love the most. Why? How did you get here? How are you fighting the person that loves you unconditionally? And if you stop for a minute, it's not so much about winning this moment. It's about this person I so deeply love. A hard heart. This is in your notes, is number two. A hard heart lacks emotion, conviction, and prevents things from being planted and taking root. You don't plant flowers in concrete. There's no flower that will survive. And if it springs up, because as it sometimes will, like the weeds in the middle of your sidewalk will form right between the cracks, they will be choked out. There is nothing that can take root in hard situations. And there is no space for God to take root in your hard heart. I want to declare to you these two things in the piece of this story, and then we're going to move on very, very quickly. First of all, your sensitivity, men and women, is powerful. It is not a weakness. There is nothing wrong with you being sensitive. Sensitivity means that you understand the temperature, that you understand the winds of change. Your sensitivity is your weapon. And number two, you deserve ongoing maintenance. Now all the women are like, hey, to the men. That's right, my toes need pedicures often. No, your soul deserves ongoing maintenance too. Way more than a massage and a vacation could ever do for you. You deserve that with Jesus. I love it because the woman, and we're bringing this story to a close, the woman, the real mom, says, listen, I would rather you think, King, that I'm a straight liar than to watch my baby, my thing, the thing that God gave me, be put to death. I don't care what people call me. I don't care. But I know who I am. There is no doubt in my mind, but I want that thing that you gave me to stay alive. How bad do you want your baby to stay breathing? And King Solomon gives the outcome that she desires because her sensitivity showed through. Oh, you think your sensitivity is something bad? You think because you cry at movies and stuff that you're all kind of messed up? I'm here to tell you, your sensitivity needs to be honed in. That's the only thing. Your sensitivity needs to be honed in to what the Holy Spirit is doing and saying, and that is your weapon. Very quickly, the next story that we see is just found in two, three verses. It's in John 19, 25 through 27. I want to draw a parallel between them to bring it to a close and have some fun. In John 19, 25 through 27, it says this: near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Now listen, this is the story of Jesus on the cross. We sang about it earlier. When I see that cross, I see freedom. When I see the grave, I see Jesus. We sing the song, but I want you now to be the mama. I want you to be Mary. I want you to look up at Mary and look at her face. When she looked up at her baby boy, she did not see freedom yet. Can you imagine the emotions? Now, Mary knew good and well that Jesus came to her and was Holy Spirit driven, that she had not slept with a man. She knew it. She knew it. There was no question. But she could have never have imagined that these people would rip her boy to shreds, that he was unrecognizable to her. She never could have imagined that this would be his end and this would be her story. She would have never, ever, ever have written this story. Oh, be the God that visits me angelically with angels and Gabriel and horns and trumpets, and be it unto me, says Mary as a little girl. But that's not the woman we find 33 years later, staring up at her baby boy with his arms stretched wide and blood dripping down his face. That's not what I want for him. I don't know about the mamas in the room that have children of many ages, some adult children and some of all walks of life. But I can relate to you on this level. There are sometimes, as moms, that we have to look at our children and understand that their story is perfectly written by the Father themselves. And I know there's some mamas here this morning that, if we're really honest, would be overwhelmed with emotion about who your children are and who they are not. And I want to speak to you, women, that there is no shame for you and your story of your children. That you have done well before the Lord. That your kids have their own story to write. And it does not matter what you are looking at the moment. There is a greater story than this on the other side of the cross. And there is a greater story for you on the other side of this. I'm going to tell you, there is nothing that will test your heart like an emergency. We can talk about your heart condition. We can talk about a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. When there is an emergency, the question is what comes out. When it's your baby boy with his arms stretched out, the question is what comes out. Worship team, if you're here, you can come back. The Bible says that Jesus said to his mom, and this is how we cope with all of this. He turns to his mother, and at first I did not understand this scripture. He turns and he says, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said, "Woman, here is your son. First of all, little boy, I have birthed you and bathed you and cared for me and cared for you. You are not going to stand up here and call me woman like I am some kind of thing." When I'm just telling y'all how I read scripture, and maybe I read it with a little attitude, and maybe I just add a little color, or maybe I'm just human. At first I was like, how could he be so cold to his mom in this moment? And some of you women are asking the same question: how could they be so cold to me? How does my child, how does my son, my daughter disrespect me or not understand or misunderstand or misinterpret my love? How am I here? How did I get here? Jesus said, "Woman, here's your son. And to the disciple, here's your mom. And Jesus wasn't being cruel, and he certainly wasn't being disrespectful. He wasn't saying that you have done something wrong or shamed. I found out that he was doing a very beautiful thing. Some theologians say he did not want to call unnecessary attention to Mary because there was a mob of people that had just killed him. His intention wasn't to embarrass her, it was completely to protect her. But then it's like he does something that's like in reverse. You know, as parents, we think it's my job to leave an inheritance to my children and my children's children. That's my job. That's my biblical job. But Jesus does it in reverse. And here the son is, before he even passes away, giving instruction of how he's going to take care of his mama. He said, here's the thing, mama. You have served and helped me and been my mother and been my guide and been my counselor and my listening ear. You have butted up in my business. You have fought for me. You have done these things for 30 plus years. Now it's my turn to take care of you. And this morning I hear the same Jesus speaking straight to us, his sons and his daughters, that says, you've been fighting long enough. Now it's time for me to take care of you. Here's the deal, Marys, men and women. Here's the deal, Marys. Here's the deal. In order for my mission to be complete on this earth, I'm not going to lie to you. We've got to cut the cord because our time here, person to person, is over. I'm not going to lie. That's true. I've got to do what I've been created to do. However, I have not left you empty-handed. I have made every provision of care for you. I have more than honored you by setting you up, and it's my job to take care of you. Can we flip the script? The third heart in your notes as we conclude our time together is a bleeding heart. A bleeding heart. A bleeding heart leaks. A bleeding heart leaks. But here's the thing, we have this concept of a bleeding heart, and if this was our heart in the same bottle, whether it's filled with junk or whether it's filled with God's love, a bleeding heart is one with holes in it. If I poked holes, 50 of them in this bottle, it would begin to leak. It would begin to sprout a leak. But there can be good leaks, and we are not left hopeless. A good leak is one that oozes out love and compassion. Ones that understand that everything is not okay with me, but I am not empty. Ones that understand that if I leak out the goodness of Jesus, that he is faithful to fill me back up. And we can have our disgusting heart that leaks, and we don't even know it, but we've left a trail of explosion behind us. It's totally possible. The choice is always ours. And so we have a clean heart. We have a hard heart. We have a bleeding heart. Each of them can be used for God's glory. And so our responsibility, you have three more blanks. It's a heart that is soft. A heart that is full. And a heart that is untethered. The heart that is untethered is a match of Mary. It's the moment where Mary stands at the cross and says, don't leave me, Jesus. Don't write this story this way. And he says, I have to do this work this way. And it's the same story, and it's the same conversation that you and I get to have every single moment with Jesus. This is not a mama's story. This is an everybody's story. And this is it. This is it. Jesus, what you're doing in me, I want you to do it this way. But if you don't, I will still bless your name. I will still understand that you will go away, but you will come back and take care of me. that you will not leave me empty-handed. There is nothing and no one that could separate me from understanding who I am in you. That's our decision to make. We are soft, we are full, and we are untethered to the outcome. Do you understand? Now I want you to take your notes and I want you to just look down at them. And of the three things that we've talked about, the three heart conditions, soft, full, untethered, or clean, hardened, and bleeding. And I want you to circle which one God is dealing with you most on right now. God, this is it. This is it. In order for me to have the optimal heart condition, in order for it to be a matter of the heart, my heart's going to be good before you. And this is it. This is what I'm giving you here this morning on this Mother's Day.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.